podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
If we end up coming out of Wolves and Leeds with just a point or less, I don't know what the owners do.
Isn't your chairman quite erratic as well?
What, in yours aim? Hello everybody, my name is James. Welcome to another Planet FPL Clash of the Correspondents. Delighted this week to be joined by two of our correspondents. Looking forward to their double game weeks in game week 29, but probably a bit worried about what's going on at the bottom of the table. Let me first introduce you to our Leeds United correspondent, Andy Martin. How are you, Andy?
Yeah, I'm good, James. Thanks for having me again. I'm in a really good mood because we're mid-table, so it's all good.
Yeah, until you lose the next game and then... Oh, I see you've got an easy one next. And our Nottingham Forest correspondent, Mark Summers, is in. How are you, Mark?
I'm precarious.
You are. We'll get on to you, mate. Andy, we must start, I think, with probably the departure of Jesse Marsh, because when we last spoke was a week before he went. It felt a bit sudden after the defeat to Nottingham Forest, but I get the feeling from the majority of Leeds fans that it wasn't sudden.
Yeah, I mean, there was a huge backlash on the Sunday after the Forest defeat, after like a run of bad results. And I was, as you know, I was on the fence about it because I thought the performances were there. The players are still performing for Marsh. And the board reacted to how the fans were completely. They just got on his back after that Forest game. You could hear the chanting from the crowd. It was like a toxic atmosphere. The board were under pressure because we're in the relegation zone. And to appease the fans, they got rid of him. And for me, I can see why they sacked him. But also, I think if we'd left him in charge, I felt the results were coming the way we were playing. And I thought it was a bit...
But they weren't coming. We kept saying that, but they weren't coming.
Yeah, it's just true. And it's perhaps naivety on Marsh and like in-game management subs and so forth, but I liked the way he was performing, and I thought there was work in progress. And we just had January where we'd spent a lot of money on signings that he wanted. So again, it just felt a rush sacking, and then no one to come in straight away either. It was like 3 or 4 weeks before we got Gracia in. So yeah, it was very appeasing the fans, and I was on the fence, but I can understand why they did it.
It surprised you, Mark.
It did. I was at the game, and I think one of the reasons why perhaps it was done was because Leeds played so well in the first half, and Navas's debut, he had to really perform. It's still probably his best game he's had for us. And then second half, Cooper changed it, and it looked like Marsh didn't know what to do to kind of to unpick what Cooper had done. And it was like you had all the possession second half, but weren't creating anything, and He was bringing on subs, but that was about it. Tactically, nothing changed. And I wonder whether that exposed him a little bit. And that's why they made the decision. They just felt on the day he didn't have the answers, and it wasn't the players, it was the coach. Because the players did well first half, but when Cooper reacted, Marsh didn't counter it with anything that's other than putting subs on. Because they just signed McKennie, right? Who's his player, really. That's what really surprised me. Like, they'd signed Marsh players and then got rid. So... yeah, it's a difficult one to understand.
Yeah, and as you said, Andy, it wasn't just that, was it? Jorginho Ruta and Vova at the back as well. So
yeah,
it was three big signings in January to move that on. And then, as you said, almost feel like they didn't have a plan. You went into the two Manchester United games and the defeat at Everton with no new manager. It felt like,
yeah.
Reflect on them three games. I know you got 1 point. You might have kept Marsh and got none, but it felt like get what you want first.
Exactly right. And it was the fact that it was just the board is just getting pelters, like, Marsh has got to go. Like, on Twitter, you just see fans just completely angry by how the results have been and see us in the bottom three. And then the board are like, okay, we hear you. Like, get rid. To kind of take the pressure off them a bit as well. So,
Andrew Rodrazzini?
Rodrazzini, yeah.
Yeah, he's tweeting on Twitter and he was like, yeah, maybe white smoke tomorrow.
Yeah.
And a week later, still nothing.
Yeah, it was like very rushed, and they weren't intending to sack him that soon.
Do you know who they intended to go for? Because I think it's fairly clear that Javi Gracia probably was not first choice.
Because, I mean, there was rumours about Hasenhüttl. Aston Hooter was out of a job, and he was like a Red Bull manager that could step in with the signing that we've made and probably done a good job, like Prem experience, the Red Bull setup, kind of, you know, that, and a good manager as well. And there was talk about him, but then that kind of went away. But there's talk about Benitez, steady the ship, and other names got thrown in, but it was all over the place for a couple of weeks.
And how you feeling about Gracia now?
He's more pragmatic.
It's a shift, isn't it?
I like him. Yeah, it is a shift. I do really like him as a, like, completely different to how Marsh and Bielsa are. Definitely more defensive minded. We see like the attackers tracking back. It's like a big switch. You see, like we saw on Saturday, Nonto, Harrison, even Bamford. They track back to defend rather than leave players up and try and turn it over quickly. This is more of a, like, the structure's better. Gracia's definitely got his structure where he likes the two defensive mids, and they do the dirty work and, like, just slowing up the play when they need to. That's a good thing. Like Rocker and McKennie on Saturday, it was just good to see just horribleness again. Like, it needed to slow down the pace of the game.
So what you're telling me is you're back to dirty leads. Nostalgic listeners will be delighted.
More dirty leads, and he's getting results, so now the goals are going in. And I don't know if that's down to Gracia or it's just a turn of luck, a turn of fortune, but
the 7 points from the four games so far is a very, very decent return. The Southampton game especially was very, very big. But yeah, you'd have taken that before the four, weren't you? Without a doubt.
Oh, without a doubt. I was hoping for a draw at Molineux on Saturday, so 3 points is big, yeah.
And Mark, since that reverse fixture, which you won for a Brennan Johnson goal, 2 points from six, what's happened?
It's hard to say. I mean, like the West Ham game in particular was a massive disappointment because I thought we could go there and get a point. And it looked like it was going to fizzle out a 0-0. Then we just combusted and went back, regressed to our old early season ways of conceding one goal after another. Everton game, I think we got caught on a set piece and we're not the first to get caught by Sean Dyche on a set piece and then the penalty, but we clawed our way back and Johnson got us a point there, and we, you know, another 10 minutes we'd have probably won that game. And then I think injuries have taken their toll. They've limited what Cooper can do from the bench, and I think we just haven't had the players to make that impact coming onto the pitch, and he you know, we're going to need that. And I think that is one positive about the end of the season, is we are getting players back. Whether or not they'll be back in time for Leeds, I think Coyote will be, and I think maybe Aaron E might be as well. So, I mean, that's a positive. So I just think we run out of luck and we ran out of players on the bench who could make an impact, and the injuries took their toll. So we need to reset, and we've got, the problem is we're going into two games now, which are so important. We can't go into them cold. We've got no momentum at all and no confidence. So I'm relying on Cooper to instill that over the break. And then we've got these two massive games against Wolves and Leeds. And if we don't get 4 points, we're in real trouble.
Yeah, I think that's because of what's after, isn't it?
It is. And our away form's terrible. And you look at the teams we've got to face at home, and United are up after Wolves. And I don't, you know, we've had games against United and they've just battered us away without any effort at all. So I'm expecting the same again, unfortunately. I mean, we're running out of games. We're running out of games that look winnable unless we can somehow find some form of on the road. But on the road, we're terrible. Absolutely. We just like can see we're on the back foot immediately and waiting for the opposition to score. And it's not until we're 2 or 3 nil down that we actually do start showing anything at all. And that's what I fear about going to Elland Road, because I think if we do that, we're not going to get anything.
I said last week, I think you were probably the poorest away team we faced at Tottenham this year. But you're not the poorest team I've seen this season. So something's not right at the moment. It almost feels like a little bit of overthinking at the moment. I don't know, we spoke last time you were on about this integration of perhaps Wood into the team, and I know he's injured again now. But then it was like at Tottenham, you switched to kind of play with four forwards in the second half. And things improved, but you were 3-0 down. And then you play a strong opponent like Newcastle and you still pick the four attackers. And as soon as I saw that, I thought, get a bit overwhelmed in midfield.
Yeah.
And it's what happened.
I don't know. That team selection surprised me. The fact that he went with the attacking team and we did get overwhelmed in midfield and he didn't change it. It was almost like he was going, look, we've got to win this. It's a home game. We've got to win it. And he didn't want to back off from that stance. It'll be interesting to see how he approaches the Wolves game, whether he's more pragmatic for that. I think away from home, I think the game we're talking about, he will be more pragmatic. I think we'll see Shelvey, Coyote and Yates playing probably in midfield, a three, and then Gibbs White centrally, I imagine, unless Aboni is fit. I think, in fact, Aboni could be the key player now. He was beginning to look like he was adjusting. If he can come back and get back to where he was, he could yet get us a few vital goals. Without that, I think we're really in trouble, though.
You're not short of players that can get you goals, Mark.
I think we are.
I feel like they'd all chip in between them.
No, I think we've got Brennan and Gibbs White hasn't really provided the end product in terms of goals. He's definitely the creative force, but he's looking for Brennan. Brennan obviously had the injury. He wasn't fit against Newcastle. He didn't look fit. I don't think he's withdrawn from the Wales squad yet, though. So I'm presuming that he's going away with them. And I hope he comes back and he's a bit sharper because he didn't look on it against Newcastle. He looked like he was becoming, taking it to another level against Everton.
Agreed.
Yeah. So I'm looking to him and Aboni, I think, to be our saviours. And I don't know if that's enough because I think at the back, you know, Felipe's impressed me. I like him. Niakate, Stew is still out on him. He's either going to have to adjust very quickly or we're in trouble, I think.
Can't have been helped. It's worth saying these 2 points in six games. Started with that defeat at Fulham, but your two centre-halves got injured in minute seven. And it seems like it's spiralled from there to this weird desperation of let's try and get Steve Cook re-registered, which that never happened, did it? Or
No, it didn't. And the other thing is, like, you know, we were somewhat unlucky. I looked at the goals of the month competition that month and three of the goals of the six were scored against Forest. So, again, we'd fallen foul of some world-class goals. You remember at the start of the season when we conceded, like, six goals from 25 yards or more or something ridiculous like that. So we come up against some opponents who just, you know, some sublime finishes. And William's goal that day was incredible. One goal, it won the goal of the month. So that day was slightly unlucky. I thought we did well second half and nearly got back into it. But the confidence has just drained from us. And the pressure on the home games is just overwhelming. And I think it showed against Newcastle. And the Wolves game, my God, that is massive. I mean, I know we're talking about the Leeds game that follows it, but really our attitude and approach to the Leeds game will depend on what we do against Wolves.
You said you think you need 4 points.
Yeah, we've got to win one and draw one, yeah. We can't lose it.
As a minimum.
I think so, because if we can beat Wolves and get something at Leeds, it puts distance between us and some of the other teams, I think. I mean, we've all got to play each other. I mean, Mitrovic is... Red card doesn't help because he's, you know, Fulham are playing all the other relegation rivals and they're going to do it without Mitrovic because he's going to get, what, 5, 6, 7 game ban probably?
I'd tell him to come back next season personally.
Yeah, and so that's a, you know, all the teams playing Fulham will now look at that and go, that we can win that. We can win that game because Fulham can't score goals easily without Mitrovic. I think they struggle. So I think that suddenly becomes a winnable fixture for everyone who plays them. And that's not Forest. It's every other team apart from Forest. And not being funny, the same can be said of Spurs at the moment. Like, you play Spurs at home at the moment, you're going to fancy it, right? We haven't got that game to come. So
keep telling everyone, Mark. People just aren't listening.
So I look at the fixtures and go, they're against us. They're really against us. We are going to have to get a couple of results that we're not expected to get. I don't know how we're going to do that.
And it's interesting. Mark's obviously kind of saying he's got to get something against your team. Your first game in your dub was obviously Arsenal away. Anything from that is obviously bonus, I think it's fair to say. But then do you view yourselves as you've got to beat Forest?
Oh, we have to beat Forest, yeah. This is a home fixture against a relegation rival. You've got to win the home ones, really. If you don't win the home fixtures against the side around you, then you're in trouble. So
for us, someone's going to be upset, clearly.
Yeah, no, exactly. And at Elland Road, I would expect to beat Forest.
Do you not think, though, in a weird way, I understand what Mark's saying, the fixtures you've got afterwards, like, for example, afterwards, Mark's got Villa away, third best record since Emery coming, then United, what he's mentioned, then a trip to Anfield. Whereas yourselves, you've got Palace at home, you've got Fulham a few after that, Leicester at home. Yours feels more recoverable on the fixture list. It's not to say you will do, but it feels more recoverable on the fixture list than it does for Forest at the moment, I think.
Yeah, it does. I think the fixtures are good. We've got some good home fixtures to come, but you don't want to give up 3 points to a rival either. Like, yeah, a point is not the end of the day, but you're at home to a team that's come up and a team that's below you. It's all nip and tuck, but I think we've got to look at the Forest game after losing to Arsenal, I think.
And a team with the worst away record in the Premier League.
Mark, why is it?
I don't know. I don't get it. I just think it's attitude, mentality. I don't know how he sets the team up, but he can't be telling them to play the way they are. It's just as soon as they get out on the pitch, they are literally waiting for the first couple of goals to go in before they go, oh, okay. It's almost like we can't assume any kind of control away from home. We just surrender it straight away. And then it's just, I'm watching it thinking it's just a matter of time. And they must feel it as well. And it's an awful feeling. I mean, and we were good away from home under Cooper in the Championship. Really good. Like, we were like, it played into our hands because we just let the teams come onto us and counter. But we don't have the quality, I guess, to do that.
Like, am I right in saying the win at Southampton, is that the only time you've scored first away from home?
Away from home, yeah. Whereas at home, I think we've scored first in, 90% of the games? Yeah. It's crazy. I don't get it. I mean, obviously the crowd plays its part, but it's got to be the mentality of the players going out onto the pitch. And whatever Cooper's doing, it's not working. We need to turn that round. I don't know what he needs to do. He needs to do something radical, though, with the tactics.
I know you love him. Would you consider a change?
Well, this is what I'm worried about now, because I think if we end up coming out of Wolves and Leeds with just a point or less, I don't know what the owners do.
Isn't your chairman quite erratic as well?
What, yours aim?
In many ways. I think the three of us can look at our chairman and think, oh, bloody hell. I'm a big Cooper fan. And he'd be the man to take us back up if we went down. And I think a lot depends on what state we'd be in if we did go down in terms of financially. I think we've got a squad and we'd keep, there's players like Toffolo and O'Brien who were in the team of the season in the Championship who we'd still have when we go down. And we'd sell Johnson and we'd sell Gibbs White. We'd have, so I think we'd have quality to get back up again. And Cooper would be, there's not many better Championship managers than Cooper given his record. So I think we'd be mad to do it unless they're convinced they can get somebody in for the final 10 games who can turn it around. And who's that going to be? I mean, so it depends.
Jesse Marsh.
No, it's not going to happen, is it? So I hope it doesn't come to that. I hope we can get a win in one of the two games. That should be enough to keep Cooper in place. But if we lose them both, then he's in real trouble, I think, which is a real worry. I don't want to think about that. I'd rather go down with Cooper than replace him, really.
All right, let's ask you an FPL question then, Mark. Biggest double game week of the season, and you've got the best double, haven't you?
I think we've got a good double, which is why I kept Brennan, yeah. I think, like, if anyone's going to get us any goals over those two games, it's going to be Brennan, if he's fit. And I think he will be if he goes away with Wales. So, but beyond him, would you look at a Forest player? Probably not. I mean, I don't, at the moment, we haven't got that defensive resolve to keep teams out. So I don't know why that would be. I guess it's the unsettled back four. We've lost Bolly. I think a Bolly Felipe centre back pairing would work for us. Bolly was playing really well. Nkati needs time, so it wouldn't be a defender. I wouldn't go a defender or Navas. It would have to be an attack. And then you're looking at Gibbs White or Brennan again, aren't you? Given the crowded midfield, it's got to be Brennan for me.
Yeah, I can get that. There'd be a few, have a few forward issues, but I guess a few, Mark, will have goalkeeper issues. Any thoughts for Kayla? It's a strong double, isn't it?
It is a strong
from
double.
That, so people just need it for this week, maybe.
I can see us winning 1-0 against Wolves, possibly. I think at Elland Road, there's going to be goals. I don't know. I haven't seen... You're saying you're more pragmatic, Andy. I haven't seen your new approach, but what I saw of you at the City Ground is you plenty of ideas, plenty of creativity, plenty of danger men in Nonto. The cutting edge wasn't there, but then you didn't have Rodrigo and Bamford was still working his way back. You've got two players in Bamford and Rodrigo who can score goals. So I think it's inevitable that Leeds will score and we'll have to score, and we can't afford to lose. So I think there's going to be goals in that game. But clean sheet against Wolves is possible, but I wouldn't want to go there myself.
Andy, you've obviously just played Wolves yourself. Thoughts on them and them going to Forest, and how you'd fancy Forest to get on against them?
I mean, I think Wolves don't get many goals at all. I don't think they've got the clinical thing about them. Like, I mean, their two goals were quite lucky on Saturday. One was a deflection, one was from 50 yards. And I know they had chances with Jimenez, had a couple of chances, but with a keeper like Navas, who can make the saves, I think Forest are capable of a clean sheet against Wolves. Wolves away doesn't scream like too many goals. Like, it could be a clean sheet. I would say 50-50 for Forest clean sheet on that. Because it will be cagey as well, isn't it? I'd imagine.
Do you think they'd be capable one against you?
No. I like Mark said, I think we've got too many attacking players at home that we can now score.
Okay. So, again, the flip is, I think people will be looking at Leeds' assets, particularly because of Forest's away record, and also looking at it on the other side and going, oh, it's Palace at home in 30 as well with their run, obviously, in 2023. So there's the idea of obviously hold through afterwards. If people said to you, Rodrigo, Bamford, Andy, what am I doing here? I'm considering. Would you tell them, no, Brennan Johnson, or get one?
I would actually think, because it is Arsenal away, if the game gets away from us, we take players off to kind of rest for the Tuesday game against Forest, or even start, like, don't start Rodrigo because he's going to start Tuesday. Like, might start Somerville because ahead of Nonto, just to give Nonto the game on Tuesday against Forest. I see it that way. I think I wouldn't risk Leeds players because I think against Arsenal, it might be kind of like a, not a full rest, but make sure you're okay for Tuesday kind of game.
Yeah, I guess that's a factor to this double as well, is obviously the quick turnarounds. And obviously for your two front boys, obviously injury issues, I guess there's a chance they even start one each. That'd be right, Andy, possibly?
Yeah, I'd agree with that, yeah.
But your boy up front... I was just going to say, Mark's boy up front will play twice if he's fit, Johnson.
Yeah, he's got to play. Yeah, I mean, we can't rest players. We've got to beat Wolves. I mean, we'll look at it and go, beat Wolves, don't lose to Leeds is, I imagine, what we look at.
If Cooper turns around on Wednesday next week and says Johnson's out, should we be triple captaining him or something? Because
I think if Johnson pulls out the Wales squad, he'll still play against Wolves and Leeds.
This seems to be happening a lot with Cooper. We're saying our players ain't going to play, and they are. Is it a little bit of kidology intentional here, do you think?
Well, I played the wild card and kept Johnson. I had Johnson.
I know.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I think I wrote an article I helped Neil write the article for Scout before the start of the season, and Neil asked me, oh, what's Cooper like at press conferences? I go, don't believe a word he says. Basically, if he says there's any chance of a player playing, it's very likely they will play. And so when he said, oh, he's got a small chance, I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, I can't lie, I did have a few people who were around the club who did tip me off as well. But I wasn't surprised when they did. And I was like, okay, I believed it. I believed the rumours. And because I believed the rumours, because I knew what Cooper's like, right? So,
ITK. We can't get any ITK from your new manager, Andy. Don't tell us nothing.
No. Not at all.
What's that about? He's literally come in straight away and went, I don't talk about injuries.
Is that what he says? Does he openly say
that? Like, asked me something else. Like, I don't talk about him. He got asked about Cooper because he was in the Scotland squad, and he was well pissed off that people then knew that he was fit because he was in the Scotland squad.
He is just very kind of a closed book, isn't he? He doesn't give anything away, like on the touchline, press conferences, matter of fact. Yeah, so you just got to accept what he does, really.
That's better than misleading people like Cooper does, to be fair. At least you know what you get, so...
I think it's a little bit naughty. You're almost better off not saying anything.
Mm.
It's a bit like with Cooper now. That's a few times that's happened, and I think we've all spotted it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. And if you were free hitting this week, hypothetically, do you think you'd go with any leads?
Probably Nonto on the bench of your free hit.
Is that it?
Kind of to give you funds. Yeah, I mean, Vober's been amazing. I think he's been such a good signing and he's made such a difference. But like Arsenal away, like That's a zero pointer. So, I and the fact that I mentioned if the game gets away from us, Bamford could come off at half time. They could make changes, like in either game, Rodrigo start one, Bamford start another. You got the Nonto Somerville again. They could start one each. So, unless you want to punt on Ayling, like.
Yeah, it would be more attractive as well if it was the other way around, wasn't it? If you were going straight into Forest, okay, this is what I think the strongest 11 will be, and then the Arsenal's just a bonus from there, would be a little bit easier, wouldn't it? But he's had reduced minutes, Nonto, since Gracia came in. So, I mean, that doesn't even feel particularly safe, to be honest, mate.
Yeah, I heard you earlier, actually, on the main pod, saying about Nonto coming off the Christensen. And Gracia did come out and say that that was a change of three at the back.
So it was three,
I'm sure of. I think it's the wrong decision because it kind of invited pressure from Wolves.
He scored straight away, mate. Genius.
Yeah, it's genius. He's running on the pitch and then scores. But he addressed it later when Somerville came in. And I would say that Nonto Somerville is an easy switch. If you're going to make like for like, so Somerville was perhaps more defensive minded, where we start the game in Nonto, he's on the front foot, he's young, he's hungry, he's direct. Somerville's young, but he's got more about him defensively and can help out if needs be, but also can drive the ball forward like Nonto can as well. So again, it is shared minutes, but Nonto's got that explosiveness about him that I think he'll probably start, and he is capable of return. So there's price. As like bench fodder, if you go like 3-5-2, if that's your setup, and even if you want to buy Nonto and stick him on your bench, I think it's a fine option. But apart from that, not particularly.
So no starters, even with Forest at home in the second game.
No, not with Arsenal away, isn't it? Like it's so difficult. Melier, if you want to think you're going to get loads of saves, but again, no. Not
particularly. Go on, Mark. Sorry.
Nonto tore us apart first half at City Ground, and they're going to be aware of that, and Cooper will be aware of it as well. We didn't start with Aurier that game because he wasn't fit. Aurier came on second half and he did a better job with him, but even he had a trouble with him. They're kind of like for like in terms of physique and pace and power, I guess, but Nonto's trickery is going to be a big worry. Probably going into the game, the biggest concern Forrest will have, I would say. And if Rodrigo's on the pitch, they'll have someone who can finish. When Bamford missed his chances that day, I worry about Rodrigo. So I think Andy's spot on. I think they will play Bamford at the Emirates and save Rodrigo and Nonto for the LMO clash. So we haven't got that luxury. We're going to have to play our first 11 in both games. So advantage leads, you know. Well, that was me.
Different question, Andy. If you were wild card in this week, would you have any leads, do you think?
I think she's not too bad. Again, it's for the bench, isn't it? I think. Would have been different if we'd had the double, if Fulham had beaten Manchester United in the FA Cup, but only Nonto because of his price. Somerville, again, Somerville is what, 4.2?
I'm waiting, Andy. I keep lining this up because I think bench boost is 27. There's got to be a Leeds player here. They've got it right in mind. I'm going to trust Mark here because I've written Mark's experience of FPL goes back further than most of us. I don't mean that disrespectfully, mate. Have we ever had a 4.0 forward before?
Oh, you mean Greenwood?
Oh, okay.
I can't remember one, no. I can't remember one. I know a big thing.
Me neither.
Yeah. Mm. That's due to his popularity, right? As when he was low priced, everyone got on him and he hasn't left the game, so he's gone down in value. I've never seen it. I've never seen a 4.5 drop to 4 million before, no. Not in that position.
Not in the forward department, I don't think. Midfield, yeah. Not in forwards, I don't think. No. You'd have to be with all them midfielders. If you were wildcarding this week, you'd have to strongly consider him, wouldn't you?
Yeah, if you're going to play five across the middle all the time, yeah, and there's a lot pointing to that given the options we've got. Yeah, I think there's merit there, but you're effectively playing with short, aren't you? It's whether you can get to the end of the season like that. If you're bench boosting 29, you're not going to do it, or you're bench boosting later. I don't know. Yeah, there's merit there, definitely. There's merit. I mean, like Az hasn't played his wild card yet, and I wonder whether he'll look at it. He'll play it in 30, I think, and it's definitely an option. Isn't it? It's like the, you know, the Steele Everson option now in goal. It's like the value there is ridiculous. I mean, they might not be the best two keepers, but the chances are you're going to free up a load of cash by doing that, and there might
the
not
chances
be...
are as soon as you get both in Sanchez yeah, no, and Warder back in goal. Whereas with Greenwood, this doesn't matter so much. You are effectively saying you're player number 15, aren't you? And and he's not incapable of no minutes. That's the thing here as well, Andy. Right? I never realized he's only had 10 minutes under Gracia, but he's not incapable of minutes, and particularly with that Adams injury. I know he's not a direct replacement, but he can cover in that area as well. How big of a blow is it to lose Tyler Adams? I must say, when I heard he was out against Wolves, I worried for you.
Yeah, I did. I think he's been amazing. It's hamstring, isn't it? Hamstring,
yeah.
I think. Because it's kind of nip and tuck where he's back after the international break. So, again, it's another one where I think we don't risk him for Arsenal if it's kind of on the verge and we go again with our full strength. I don't think it's particularly concerning. I think he'll be okay in a couple of weeks.
He's if it turns out to be more severe and he's out for the season, are you okay with the Rocker McKennie partnership? Is that enough to get you through, do you think?
I'm okay with those two. And we've even got Strouk and Cock that can play there as well. So it's, even though Adams is a big miss because he's great, he never stops running, and one of the probably the player of the season, I'd say. How well he's performed. But it's an area we have got depth, like Greenwood, Stroud, Cock can play there if necessary. We're okay. Yeah.
I think you'd be better off if Stroud gets back in that team. Obviously came on at the weekend.
Furfo's been good. Furfo's been all right.
Yeah, he's got a mistake in him, mate. I don't know if we'll ever get it out of him. He really does switch off at moments, mate.
Defensively, not great, but as in attacking wise, he does overlap. Like Gracias has like the fullbacks to be a bit higher. Like Ayling is looking like he's getting forward. Burp on the other side looks like he's getting forward. It's more of a fullback. So I don't know. Furfo's changing it. I know defensively he's horrible and not great, but
I mean, one thing
better for the structure, I think.
One thing Forrest will target is that side, because Brennan got Stroik booked early on and we were willing him to run at him and he didn't quite, you know, get him for a second booking. I think he fouled him again, and then you brought Firpo on because obviously Marsh fought one more and he's gone. So we will target that side. So just like Nonto's the risk for us, I think you'll look at Brennan and think that side for you will be the problem. So I've got to hope that we get some joy there, basically. Yeah.
I'd think that'd be the side for you, Mark. If you were free hitting this week, would you take any Forrest in with you? I'm guessing Johnson would still be a yes if he's fit.
Johnson's the only one if you wanted to save some money up top. I think that we've got to score in both games because we've got to win one of them and not lose the other. And I think we're going to need to score at Leeds not to lose. So if we're going to score, say we score a couple of goals, Johnson's got a good chance of playing part in both of those, I would have said. So, and he's on pens. He's a 5'7" forward who's our chief goal threat who's on pens. There aren't many players in the game like that. So, and he's our best player in terms of, you know, the one likely to score against anybody, and he's getting better. I think by the end of the season, if we do go down, there'll be a queue, won't there?
Yeah, he'll get interest. Yeah, I think since the turn of the year or since the World Cup, he's looked like he belongs at this level.
Yeah,
I agree with that. Just interesting, you just played Newcastle, Mark. I suspect over the next couple of weeks before the deadline, Isak's going to be a very popular name. Should people overlook the fact that it was against you, or do you think he's a very viable go and get? I'm asking selfishly because I want to get him.
I'll tell a story. Billy and I, Billy's got a team, my son, my 11-year-old son. And we always leave his team to the last minute, like literally minutes before kickoff. And he wanted to get Isak. And I said, you can't, he's playing Forest. He goes, yeah, that's why I want to get him. I'm like, no, I'm not letting you get Isak, right? There's just no way. And he goes, but he'll score against Forest. I'm like, yeah, but he might do, but honestly, you can't. And then he went to bed, and then he got up the next day, and he looked and he went, Isak got, was it 13 points he got?
Yeah.
No, he wasn't happy with me. He wasn't. And I was like, shut up. I don't need a reminder, do I? So yeah, he was a good option, wasn't he, against Forest. They always liked to score, and he is their most potent goal threat. They struggle for goals until he's hit that form. Yeah, he's a good option. There's no doubt about it. Even with the tougher fixtures, I think that he's the one, isn't he? He's the one who's going to get the amp up for them at the moment.
Do you think you'll stay up, Mark?
I don't think it's in our hands anymore. I think we are now relying on Bournemouth, Southampton, and one other to be worse than us.
Or and, two others.
Well, I think the likely three to go down include Bournemouth and Southampton, sadly. I don't think those two teams have got quite enough in terms of depth and players that can win games for them. But the other team, the third team, I look at the teams around West Ham, Everton, Leeds, and I think they've all got more than Forest. So I'm really worried because I don't think we've got the fixtures left at home that's going to get us the points. If we get 4 points in the next two, we've got a good chance, maybe. But if we don't, if we get less than 4 points, I think we're going.
Last time I spoke to you, I said, you're going to have to start getting something on the road, mate.
Yeah.
And I think that's still the case. Something's going to have to come here. And it's not to say you can't, mate. It'd be so typical of Liverpool's season. You two be the only two bastards to win at Anfield all season. Leeds and Nottingham Forest between you, mate. Been that sort of season. But yeah, you're going to... Them away games you got left aren't good either, Mark. It's not even slanted to say, oh, you've got easy ones left away from home. No. They're not. And you're going to have to do something somewhere, I think.
Yeah.
Andy, do you think you stay up?
I do. Yeah. Providing we don't lose to Forest. Okay. I think... Looking at the fixtures, I think 4 wins will do. And I think we can get 4 wins from those fixtures we've got remaining. So we've got 4 good home games. If we win 3 of those and pick up a few more points somewhere else. But
which 3 do you think will go?
I think Mark...
Be nice, it's the first time you've met Mark.
No, I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's true. And I big respect, but I think it's Bournemouth, Saints and Forest, I would say, yeah, at this stage.
Yeah.
That's how the bookies have got it. Yeah. At the moment, is those three. I think Everton's recent results under Sean Dyche has just edged them with the bookies outside of that three. But can I ask, guys, why is Leicester 17th, West Ham 18th? Why is everybody on the assumption they're going to be all right? And either you can go first on that.
Madison for Leicester. He's so good.
That's a good answer.
Also, the fixtures coming up for Leicester is good. That's my two reasons for Leicester. West Ham just feel like a solid team. Now they've got Zuma back. They'll grind out results from Moyes rather than... They'll never lose... I don't think they'll lose many games heavily now. And I think they'll grind enough points to stay up.
Anything to add on that, Mark?
I think Leicester are the most likely to give us hope because I think they're not hardened like Everton are.
I agree with that.
And I think West Ham have got it in them to... a grind a result out. I don't think Leicester can go anywhere and grind a result out. They're relying on their firepower. They don't look like a team that's together either. They don't look like they've got that unity. I don't know what it is that's lacking, but it's been there. They had that spell that got them out of trouble just before Christmas, and it looked like, oh, that's it. They're out of it now. But they've gone back into that malaise of losing games and not. And Madison looks like he's their only hope. And his fitness is always a concern. So I think of the teams down there, and I don't see Leeds now. I think Leeds will pull away. And I thought that after the game, I think I posted after we won 1-0, like I looked at Leeds and thought, there's no way they're going to finish below us. Just didn't see it because they had too much on the day.
So they sacked their manager.
Well, when they sat their manager and didn't get somebody in, it gave me hope that Leeds could be down there with us still. But now they've got into a groove and he's playing more pragmatically. If he does that, he's got the firepower. As long as Bamford and Rodrigo get the goals, and I think they will. I look at Leicester low, and I think they don't seem to be a unit. They don't seem to be together, and they're relying too much on Madison. And like us, they're very weak at the back. So I think there's a chance that Leicester could be that team that are down there towards the end. Yeah, not West Ham though. I think they've got the grit to get out of it.
And if you'd lost the ball, you'd be joint bottom, mate.
Yeah, I mean, it's so tight there.
It's like, mad tight.
One win and you're kind of shooting at the table. And again, like, a win against Forest, and it's like, you're looking fine, and then you lose against Forest, and it's, oh no, relegation.
That's it. Like, you couldn't write anyone off. Mark, if you win these two games, Wolves and Leeds, suddenly you're on 32 points and 29 played. And you say, like, right now it doesn't feel light in your hands. It certainly will do if you get to that point.
Yeah, yeah.
As soon as you're above point per game, you're in.
I think Cooper will look at this and think, look, that's got to be the objective. I think he won't look at 4 points. He's got to think he's got to get 6.
Unbelievably, there are 9 teams on less than a point per game at the moment. It's incredible. Andy, how many points do you actually think will be needed to stay up? It never feels as it never tends to be as many as people think it needs to be.
No, it's different this year, I think. Like before, you'd had teams cut adrift, and now I think it really is 40 this season.
You think it could go to the magic number?
I think someone could go down 38, 39 points this year because everyone's still like playing each other. Like you look at the fixture in 29, is it like West Ham against Leicester, I think, is one of the fixtures. And there's some other fixtures in there as well. So, like,
West Ham obviously play Southampton. Mark's got his team's obviously got two games against teams down there. Paddy's play Leicester.
So people are picking up points. So yeah, exactly. So by the end of 29, there might be 5 teams above 30 points. Like it's that kind of. So I think 40 is where you need to be this year. Because there's no.
Do you think that high, Mark?
I don't know. I mean, Palace isn't a team we've talked about yet, and they could yet get dragged into it, given that they're managerless, right? So I thought that was a bizarre decision. I thought, like, who are you going to get who's going to be able to turn this round? Who's going to come in?
Jesse Marsh. Well, okay, keep saying his name.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know the total. It's really, really tough to say because we've never seen it like this, and we've all got to play each other a lot. Yeah, there's no whipping boys at all, though, is there? I mean, it's good to see in a way in that the standard is higher than it's ever been in that respect. There's not a team cut adrift or two teams cut adrift. I'm not looking at the total, really. I think you're right. I mean, I think if we win these next two, it changes everything. But it's a massive if. And I don't know what the sinking feeling feels like, but I think I'm feeling it, put it that way.
It's going to be brutal for all the teams down there. But yeah, any team who wins 2 games in a row, we were talking about Southampton. If Southampton could suddenly beat Brentford and Tottenham, like it would shove them right to the top of the list. Unbelievably, they'd be sitting in 12th now. So it is that tight. You put a couple of good results together, and you're out of it. Andy, I think I know the answer to this, but how many points do you think you'll get in the double? I'll ask you that rather than the correct score predictions because I don't need to hear you say how many you think Arsenal will get.
No, that's fine. We're going to get 3 points in the double. I'm pretty sure of that.
Mark, how many do you think you get?
Heart says 4, head says 1.
I think you'll probably both get 3.
Well, that's very kind of you, but I'm not confident.
I think Andy will get his at the Emirates and you'll get yours at Elland Road, mate.
If it does work out like that, it'd be funny, but I just can't.
Yeah. I'll take that. Problem is, Everton are definitely getting 3 points as well, mate. Andy, where can everyone follow you on the Bird app before we let you go, mate?
Yeah, if you want to follow me, it's FPL_tactician.
Fantastic. And Mark, yourself?
I'm at FFScout_Mark and obviously Black Box on a Wednesday or Thursday. We're not doing one this week. We'll do it next week, though, so you can catch me on there with Az.
Look forward to it. Give Az our regards, my friend. So you'll be back with me for the Sky Fantasy Football podcast tomorrow. Clash of Correspondents next Tuesday, almost definitely. It will be a definitely. I just don't know what day yet. But it'll be Newcastle versus Manchester United with Simon Bibby and Gary Robinson. But just leaves me to say thanks again so much to Andy and to Mark. Good luck to you both, gentlemen. Cue music, please, man child.
Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.